Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Welcome to Empowered Through Health with Diane Solano, bringing you interviews with health and wellness experts from around the globe, educating, entertaining, and inspiring. Empowered Through Health starts now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our weekly show, Empowered Through Health. I'm so excited to always have our special guests on these platforms. You know, it's just really about empowering people to take health into their own hands and really understand there's so many wonderful things you can do to start making those steps into your abundant health and become the best version of who you are. That's right. My name is Diane Solano. I'm an orthomolecular nutritionist, been in the field for 20 years already. My God, it goes by so fast. But really, you know, we want to talk about simplicity. We want to talk about the simple things people can do that no one is starting to really become aware of. And today on our show, we have a very special guest. We have Dr. Jared Singler. Dr. Jared is going to be sharing some incredible, wonderful, very empowering concepts around brain and neurology. And one disclaimer I want everybody to know is that this show is not here to diagnose. It's not here, you know, to become medical treatment. You know, you got to have that conversation with your medical expert. The idea around the show is to share different tools because you're going to be amazed at how powerful the body is. When you just give the body basics, fundamentals, you empower it. You bring it back to balance. You bring it back to homeostasis. You let the intelligence of Mother Nature take over. And really, it's about getting to the deeper root cause behind the imbalance, what caused that to happen in the first place. So a little bit about our guest, Dr. Jared Singler is a chiropractor, but has expanded into the field of functional medicine. And I call him the doctor to the doctors because I met Dr. Jared at a functional medicine conference where, my gosh, his knowledge just blew me away. He had so much knowledge behind the brain. His specialty is functional neurology. And I remember that day, Jared, I was challenged myself with some vertigo. You pulled me away on break. You threw me on a table and you just started to work with my neurons, my neurosynapse. And you're going to talk more about that today. I know our topics around post-concussion. I know we could talk for hours, but I just want to give people a little taste about you, your specialty, your knowledge, and how powerful your information is and how they can find you. So with no further ado, I'm going to bring Dr. Jared to our platform today. Dr. Jared, if you can, you know, maybe share a little bit about your story, why you're so passionate with this topic around functional neurology now, how it's expanded from chiropractic, and then let's dive deep and talk a little bit about post-concussion syndrome.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for having me. You definitely built me up to a pedestal. So the information's got to be par. You know, I started, when I was 18, I was a strength coach and I knew I wanted to work with athletes. And after about a decade of strength coach, chiropractor, thinking about a master's and things like sports injury and rehab, I learned about functional medicine because I said my wife couldn't have any children. My daughter's 7 and a half. We're due again in a month. So, you know, I never really put limitations on the body. When it heals, it heals. We do what's right for it. And then about 5 years ago, I started to work with an autistic boy and he couldn't talk. And I told the mom, like, I don't do this. I'm not a brain guy. Like, I'm autoimmune. I do gut stuff. But he started to talk about 6 months later, just by kind of working on his gut and doing things. But I knew there was more because he would only repeat what his mom was saying. And, you know, I was like, why is this kid like a parrot? You know, I didn't know. And then I learned about the whole functional neurology type of things, which I just tell people, I think of it like a personal trainer for your brain. So we can stimulate different areas and back to like what we do, like what somebody can do for themselves. Stimulating the brain is easy. Knowing what exercise we have to do can be, that's the nuances and the difficulty. But like, you know, you made an allusion to it, did what's called an Epley maneuver. So one of the rocks in your ear canals was out, which is very common after a thing like a concussion. You don't always have to have it. But we'll see those ear canals get loose. And then basically one ear says, hey, you're moving. And the other one's like, no, we're not. And then you kind of disagree. And then you get like this, oh, I'm dizzy. And oh, I feel nauseous. So we're just putting those rocks back in the right place. But then what we had to do to take it a step further as well, now your ears are agreeing. We want to make sure your eyes and another part of your brain know that. So now everyone's on the same page. They know how you're moving through your environment, how you can track things so you're not going to bump into stuff and all this other big fancy things. But for you, all we did was like, hey, he moved my head around. I felt really dizzy for a while. That sucked. But then we stood up and, you know, then we're like, hey, can you follow my thumb? And you're like, no, not through here. And like, well, let's have your ear canals activate them to tell your eyes where your thumb is. So now you can follow a target when your head's moving. So we'll take a very simple concept of what pathway of the brain needs to be stimulated or exercised, and how can we exercise it? And that's where we want to stimulate, not annihilate. Because just like, you know, I tell people, if you want to get big and strong and you just do bench heavier and heavier, like eventually you're going to blow out your shoulder. You know, you got to have balance, you got to rest. Like, it's not just about lifting weights when we think of exercise or stimulating something. Especially when we think of a concussion, certain cells in the brain, not your neurons, they kind of, it's like hard boiling an egg. You can't unboil it. So the immune cells in the brain are now on high alert. It's like if the first time I ever met you, you're like, hi, I'm Dan. And I'm just like, bam, punch you in the face. And then you're going to be like, ah. So next time you see me, you're going to be waiting for it. So the next time the immune system gets challenged in the brain, those immune cells are waiting for it. And just for the record, you know, when they looked at Einstein's brain, the guy that did the autopsy, I know this is like way off topic. He stole the guy's brain, didn't tell his family. And they did an autopsy because they wanted to study, why is he so much smarter? He didn't have more neurons than us. He had more things called astrocytes, which are support cells that regulate how neurons work. He had like way more than everybody else, but he didn't have more neurons. So anyways, all that to say, those support cells, they're like the referee of how a neuron works, how that signal gets sent. Is everybody playing by the rules? And these referees are just gone. Now nobody's playing by the rules. The neurons start firing too much. They get too excited, especially after you hit your head, and they burn out. Just like back to that bench press analogy. If I hurt my shoulder, I can rehab it. And eventually after maybe in enough months, I'll be able to start exercising again. But once we lose a neuron, it's gone. We can't get it back. So that's where we don't want to think of too much excitation for the brain is very, very problematic, especially after a head injury. Because we think of the very common things we hear right out of the gate. Oh, don't let them sleep. Keep them inactive. That is, I don't want to say crap, but that's kind of crap advice. Like that's from the 1980s. Like they called, they want their science back. Like it's 2020. There's different things we need to do now. Like sleep is imperative. We start clearing all these dead and dying cells that because we need that inflammation after we hit our head. I know our big thing is, hey, cut off inflammation. But if we don't start that inflammation cycle, we can't burn out the dead and damaged cells to make room for growth. And then you just don't heal. So we won't just start like, hey, high doses of turmeric, like stuff like that right out of the gate. That's maybe the internet thinking something's good, but clinically, you wouldn't do that at all. So we'll kind of want that necessary evil, but the main thing we want to do is start healing the brain and cleaning it out. And sleep is probably the biggest thing somebody can do for that. Quality of sleep, which is very, very hard after a head injury. A lot of people have trouble falling asleep and staying asleep. There's usually a sense of PTSD, and where somebody hit their head can be a big thing too. Like, you know how everyone says all disease starts in the gut? That doesn't hold water either. I could name several instances that that's not true, one of which is a head injury. What they did is they took these rats and they hit their head and then they looked to see, is their gut leaking? The answer was yes. Depending on how hard they hit their head, their gut would start leaking anywhere from a few minutes to a few hours after a head injury. And then they did something else. They're like, all right, let's hit these rats on the head. Let's stimulate their vagus nerve before we do it. So when we think of that parasympathetic, that rest and digest, the vagus nerve is deep in this part of your brain, like behind your ear, that's responsible for like digesting food, bowel motility, like the stuff you can't think about, right? Like I can't tell my pancreas to make more enzymes, right? So that was just gone. The brain lost control of the gut, started leaking. And then that's a really big catch 22, because now we can't digest and absorb food. We can't get nutrients to the brain to heal it. So one of the easiest ways to stimulate the vagus nerve, there's a couple ways. Gargling is kind of a very physical way to do it. Gratitude is huge. Having an emotion, because a lot of people get pulled out of that rest and digest state by an emotion. So we'll just ask somebody, hey, what gets you like not in your zen state? Oh, I get a call from school, or oh, there's a stressful event. I'm like, so if an emotion's pulling us out, we can use a different emotion to pull us back in, you know? Gratitude, generosity's big too. That's a huge one, believe it or not. So we'll have people gargle, but also breathing. Our one window into that autonomic nervous system is our breath. So I'll usually have people do what we'll call a 4-8-4 breath count. Yeah. Breathe in through their nostrils for 4 seconds. Breathe out through pursed lips for 8, kind of like their candles. Maybe 7 seconds. It depends how big your lungs are, right? And then we'll want to wait for about 4 seconds before we breathe in again. Because most people don't actually breathe out enough to fully breathe in. It's like, I use exercise as an analogy. It's like if I was trying to do bicep curls and I just keep my arm up here, the only thing I can do is move my shoulder. So the only thing I can do to breathe is start lifting my rib cage if I don't actually have my diaphragm relax, come all the way up so I can pull it all the way down and things like that. So we'll just have people start using it. And that very kind of conscious way we breathe through that 4-8-4 count, we start activating kind of the command center for that vagus nerve. Now we're getting like middle management involved. So I say we got like upper management, we got some middle management, we got lower management, and the employees are the organs, like the gut. That organ starts to fail. Usually we'll see other organs start to fail too. Because you know that pituitary, right? When we talk about the HPA axis, well, that pituitary is kind of the middle management for things like ovaries and testes, thyroid, gut, like take your pick. Like it usually has a hand in regulating a lot of things. Well, that usually will slam into the front of somebody's skull in a head injury, because usually we're like this when we hit. So we maybe have a frontal lobe injury here, but then we'll also hit the back whenever we're going back. But that kind of middle management, it's got nowhere to go but hit this bone right here.
Right.
So then it's not very uncommon for us to, again, see those sleep disturbances. People's adrenals don't know, am I asleep? Am I awake? Is it daylight? Is it nighttime? Like all these feedback loops get broken. So that's where sleep is imperative. But I want to make sure people get good nuggets back to fixing the gut and things. If I were to hit my head right now, I probably wouldn't eat for the next few days. Okay. I just try to drink water. Okay. Autophagy means self-eating. Once we're not eating food and getting nutrients from an external source like food, then our body looks around at dead stuff, dying stuff, broke stuff. It's like, hey, this cell's not even working. This cell wall, that part's broken. This mitochondria is not working. So then it'll just start to recycle and absorb all these broken things. Because again, we have to clear the debris from a head injury before we can do all these fancy things like the eye movements and head movements we would do with you. So that way they get an effect. And that way we don't have to keep doing it and doing it, because the beauty of neuroplasticity and growing those connections as the brain is it happens real time.
I love it. And you know what, Jared, you know, I worked at the Hyperbaric Oxygen Therapy Center for years, and we saw a lot of post-concussion. And I realized that in the medical model, it's so limited. It's just like, well, cross your fingers. Good luck with that. Here's some anti-inflammatories.
Here's your benzodiazepam. So like, here's your Xanax to calm down, or we'll try a Prozac maybe.
And people are so desperate, and they don't realize that neuroplasticity is your brain being able to, you know, draw new connections and rewire itself. It's so intelligent. And I love what you said. What would you do if you hit your head? Fasting. Fasting because you need to go in and clean up the debris. There's been a lot of dead cell, a lot of injury that needs to be cleared out of the body. This is brilliant. You know, getting proper sleep, critical for the healing process. And I notice with recovery, there's phases, like the initial phase, the acute phase, injury just happened. But then what happens after that? What would be the phase two of after
week? Yeah, so usually after 48 to 72 hours, 48 hours, they got to get out of bed if they can. You know, sometimes we'll see head injuries so bad they're in a coma, you know, they got the trach tube and everything. All the machines are keeping them alive, basically. So obviously 48 hours is a bit much, but, you know, we're talking about an athlete took a hit. Maybe they're having trouble with this and they pull them off the field. They don't need to necessarily play in 48 hours, but they need to try to walk. They need to try to just do something. Sitting there in bed is only going to make it worse. We know that now. And then it's more of kind of trying to get back to that baseline, because post-concussive syndrome can last for decades. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll see people that are like, well, I hit my head 30 years ago. I'm like, man, that must suck because it's been going on 30 years. But that's when we'll try to see, okay, I think of it like a sprained ankle, like, okay, can we walk on it? How fast can we walk on it? So depending on what part of someone's brain is affected, and you won't like see it on an MRI, you know, those are good for after a head injury. Like, hey, are you bleeding inside your brain? Like, are we going to run CT scans, all that? But when we think of functionality, you know, we're usually not going to see like maybe that dizziness when someone's eyes are just like moving like boom, 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 boom. We're not going to see that on an MRI, but if we look at someone's eyes, we're like, wow, that looks like you probably feel very dizzy, kind of like when you're on the table and, you know, we're just watching your eyes. Like, I know Dr. Bob's behind me like, oh my gosh, you know, because you see it. And so then we'll start to evaluate, well, hey, this part of your brain, we'll start making a map. Like, this part over here is having trouble talking to this part over here, which is having trouble integrated by all this right here. You know, so what can we do to get these parts of the brain talking again? So that way we can start to stimulate them, and now we can maybe get that gut working again, or we can calm down that PTSD. Because when we think of like that anxiety, especially that people get after a head injury in a loud, crowded space, yes, that anxiety is a vestibular issue. So, and that's where back to like the benzos and stuff, like, you know, I was in the military and like usually that's kind of par for the course, is to try to like, hey, let's just calm you down. Let's, you know, and that's okay. It does calm down the nervous system, but it's not selective. So then of course it's like, well, I don't feel emotions as well. I don't remember as much, you know, like all this other stuff starts to diminish as well.
Yes. It comes up. And I think you hit on something important here. Every injury is going to be different, depending on how deep, where you got hit, what happened. And this is where you want to connect with a professional like Jared. I mean, I've seen you do the eye tracking with different people, the smallest little thing you'd never guess. But if you hit the motherboard somewhere, you know, it's going to affect the communication to the rest of the body. And this is where, you know, you'll be able to identify where we're going to work, what's the best next step. What are your thoughts around neurotropics? Neurotropics being the nutrition that we feed the brain, because that's another area I saw a lot of deficiency in. Was that it was like, cross your fingers and just gouge out on processed food. And
yeah,
I just, there's so much out there. And if you can touch on what your thoughts are on functional, medicinal mushrooms, which is so powerful.
Oh yeah, definitely. So nootropics, some of them will force their way in. So I always focus on the health of the neuron, as opposed to when you think of a nootropic, we might think of neurotransmitter support. Like, how can we maybe drive attention and focus and creativity a little more with that chemical kind of process. But back to the health of the neuron, that's where one of the things I actually love are reishi spores. Because a couple things that they do, blood flow completely changes to the part of the brain that got affected. So it can help with that. Helps with what's called a reperfusion injury. So sometimes you hit your head and all that swelling will actually diminish how things flow for a while. Then it gets hypoxic. That's why the hyperbaric oxygen does so good. Oxygen always just shortens healing time. Like, we'll have people do therapies in the oxygen chamber. That's when I'm like, you're sitting there by yourself. You might as well do your neuro rehab. Like, cause your brain needs sugar, oxygen, and a reason to fire to fire. We're giving it more oxygen, which it probably wasn't doing too great with after your head injury. So it can help with oxygenation. Helps with the blood sugar too. One of the biggest things that we'll see after a head injury is if somebody doesn't have stable glucose or stable blood sugar levels, they have no backbone for their brain to build energy off of, its antioxidant system. Like, we need that sugar, but we don't want these hills and valleys. So that'll help a lot too. It also helps with glutathione, which is the major antioxidant accident. We don't want to diminish inflammation, but we want to control it. Glutathione does a lot with that. There's actually been very good human studies of reishi with humans and head injuries. The blood-brain barrier leaks less. The antioxidant system like almost tripled, like back to baseline. Like it's insane what some of these things can do. And I say there is no toxic dose. As long as someone's not bleeding internally, then hey, we're okay. We can do this. And it doesn't interfere with any of the medications, you know, because sometimes depending on what somebody hits, maybe their blood pressure starts to go real high and like, please, dear God, take your blood pressure medication. Like, don't try to just like, oh, I'm going to take some magnesium and hope 200 over 150 is fine. I'm like, no, you're probably going to have a stroke. Like, then we don't care about the post-concussive syndrome. So, you know, and that's where I always try to keep people from having pill fatigue, too. Memory is not too great after a head injury. Focus, drive, motivation to do a lot is usually kind of low. You know, we want to get better, but the wiring and connections in the brain, like giving someone 12 supplements, 40 diet changes, 38 brain exercises, not really going to happen. It'll last for maybe half a day. And then
you know what? I've seen too many times great practitioners with all the theory, and they give like 100 different things for the individual, and that person can barely even like get dressed or shower.
Yeah.
And so it really needs to be simple. It needs to be effective. And I the reason why, you know, I'm happy you spoke about the spores is because there's so many pathways it helps with. It's just one of those intelligent Mother Nature products, you know. And by the way, the spores that Dr. Jared's talking about is reishi mushroom, but it's basically the I would call the baby fetuses, like the
I say it's the baby of the mushroom.
There you go. It's the baby of the mushroom. Just like when you sprout food, it's the highest in nutritional value. It's very potent. So we have a lot of great comeback with something like spores, along with many other things. But that's all part of the product line that carries not only the spores and capsules, or, you know, they infuse them in beverages as well. The King Coffee, for example, has the spores in it. And if anybody's curious about that, follow Jared on Instagram or on Facebook. You can just type him in, Dr. Jared Singler. He's got access to all those things. We also can get access to it by going to newbodynewhealth.myorganogold.com. We'll put that at the bottom of the recording so you guys can have access to those products, because they are life-changing. It's Mother Nature's intelligence. And I love the way Jared shares, and I've seen him in action. Like, I've seen you doing trekking. I've seen you working. Do you work remotely? Can someone connect with you and say, hey, here's my challenge? And I love, it's not just post-concussion. You do have great work with ADD, ADHD. I'd love to have you back on for those topics. Me being a mom, I know how important that is, empowering moms all around there. But maybe you can talk about how people can find you.
Yeah. I'm mainly on social media. I've been doing that for, geez, I was on Facebook when you had to have a .edu. I actually downloaded all my content because I was worried that it might be like expunged, you know, because if I don't always fit the narrative, then they can just delete it now. Anyways, it was like 16 gigabytes, photos, videos, like I have a book basically written on there. But social media, I like to have a personal touch. What I do, it takes so much time and effort with each individual person. There's never going to be a protocol. So we work a lot together. We're very like, you know, like doing stuff. So I've worked virtually before it was cool for the Rona. I'd been doing Zoom meetings like this for probably about 2 years now at this point. Cause for me, I wanted to make sure I was just kind of geographically independent. And I just like to always see, you know, because then if a picture is worth 1,000 words, a video is worth 1,000,000. I can just see the way somebody's eyes work or something like that. That's gold mine. But then I want to focus on what's good for the person. Like I actually had a call just this morning with a gentleman, and he had a stroke where it was one of those bad ones. And I just said, hey, man, this is like too intense for through the internet. Like you need somebody on site. Like I could do it, but like I'm not like up there, you know. He's in Minnesota. So I was like, hey, let's like do what's right for you and try to get someone that can see you in person, because with the severity of your stroke, like you need that. Yeah. You know, but that's where by the same token, I'll be talking to doctors and I'm teaching them this. I'm like, if you can't see something, you should just quit, because sometimes it's so obvious you can't like not see it. And that's what usually a lot of people notice. They're like, yeah, I really noticed my one hand's doing something different than the other now. Like I can, like now that you showed me, like I can see it. So we'll work through things. So we'll do all these Zoom meetings and things like that. And let's try to keep it chill, you know? And then we say, hey, maybe this is the testing that we might need, because we want to do basic stuff like balance blood sugar, make sure we're sleeping, maybe the fasting, if you can tolerate it. Again, talk to your doctor. Fasting is metabolically very hard to do. It's like running 26.2 miles. So if you're like reactive hypo and can't go 2 hours without eating and you count time by your next meal, you probably shouldn't try to fast for 3 days. Like you're going to crash and burn. But you know, if it's for somebody, it's for them, you know. But then we start to peel the layers of the onion. What's the right diet? What's the right supplement? What's the right test? What's the right brain exercise? Because everybody's so unique, especially with brain injuries, you know. And what we're finding is there's no actual mild traumatic brain injury. Even if somebody hasn't lost consciousness, nothing like that, the trajectory of the brain just might change a little bit. And we might not notice it at the time. But say if we're flying from LA to New York and we're off 2.5 degrees, we don't even notice it in LA. But by the time we get to New York, we're like, what, New York?
Right.
So when I see someone with post-concussive syndrome and they're like, oh, I'm 30, this happened in my 20s, I slipped on some ice, and I'm like, I'm worried about you when you're 60. Right. Like, you know what's going to happen to your brain if you don't get a hold of this, like, now? Neurodegeneration, not to scare people, neurodegeneration, like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, starts in our 30s and 40s. The brain just can't keep up after 30 and 40 years. And now we notice it in our 60s and 70s.
And that's the goal, is not, don't wait for something to happen. It's prevention, right?
Yeah.
Why not go in there, do some tracking of the eye, do the stuff Jared's going to look at, or anyone with that kind of background that can say, hey, you're going in this direction. What if we unravel that a little bit and we create new neuroplasticity in the brain? Jared, I absolutely love it. I think it's such an honor and a pleasure to have you on this platform. I'm invested in having people with authenticity, integrity, energy entrepreneurs like yourself that work from home that can basically be accessible by the world because of this technology and these platforms. You know, it's a gift to have someone like you out there helping so many people, because I've seen the transformations. Go to Jared's Facebook page, just scroll through the first 5, you know, posts, and you're gonna get so much valuable information. I can't wait for you to put out your official website with all your fabulous things. In the meantime, you can find Dr. Jared on Instagram. You can find myself on Instagram and connect with us, because every other Friday, I interview different guests from around the world that are showing up so powerfully, empowering others through their special modality. I'd love to bring Jared back and talk about some other fabulous topics. But like I said, every other Friday, we are showcasing powerful practitioners like Jared that you can connect with. So, you know, again, we're going to wrap up the show for this segment. Here's what I want everyone to know. You're your own best health advocate. You are your own driver's seat of your own health. You've been blessed with an amazing life. Our goal here today is to help empower you to go out there and live at your biggest, best potential. Get the tools, get the information, make the decisions, connect with who you resonate with, and make it a wonderful, wonderful 2021. Just go in there, share the love, get empowered, and let's help change this world with information and great intention. Thank you, Dr. Jared, for having us. Stay tuned if you want to stick around. New Body, New Life. We'll have a small commercial around these, you know, infused reishi beverages and spores. And of course, Dr. Jared's got access to that as well. People who just love people getting better. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Jared. Look forward to seeing everyone on the next show.
Thanks, Diane. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Empowered Through Health with Diane Solano. For more information, visit Senergy.ca. That's Senargy.ca.